Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We are in week 5 of our First Things First preaching series. And I have loved this series. I personally have found it super helpful. And so I thought I'd just do a quick little recap of what we have covered the past few weeks. Week 1, Pastor Al kicked us off. We looked at Matthew 6:33. If you know it, I want you to say it with me, or at least the first three words. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Really important we remember that bit too. And all these things will be added to you. We asked the question, we answered the question, why put God first? And the answer is quite simple, really. It's because God is first. Whether that is a reality in your life or not, God is first. He is King. He is Lord. He has no rival. He has no equal. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. He is the way, the truth, the life. Why put God first? Because he is first. And if that's not a reality in your life, there will be a moment later on where you can pray a prayer that invites Jesus into your heart that gets you right with God. What does it mean? What does it look like to put God first? Week 2, we put prayer in its right place. Week 3, the Word of God. And what we mean by that is reading our Bible. Week 4 was about stewardship, faithfully stewarding what God has entrusted us with, whether it be time, money, our gifts and talents. And today we are unpacking the importance of community. Church isn't a crowd, it's a family. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for C3 SYD. For the spiritual mothers and fathers of this house. For you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've made lifelong friends here. I met my wife here. And we are now raising our 3 children here. The idea, just Jesus and me, is incomplete and unbiblical. While salvation is between you and God, faith is to be lived out together. From the very beginning, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. In the Psalms, it says, God sets the lonely in families. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, the disciples were together in one place. The New Testament consistently presents faith as something lived out together. Jesus himself said, where 2 or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Jesus did most of his discipleship where? At the dinner table. Think of a hot coal in a fire. When it's surrounded by other coals, it burns bright. But if you pull it away, it cools quickly. It's the same with faith. Isolation cools your fire, but community keeps it burning. So let's look at Acts chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 42. And I referenced it already, but can I remind you of what happens at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost? And I do believe there is a connection with Pentecost and what we're about to read. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And then it goes on to say this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If we can just pull the scripture up again, if we can go to verse 42, notice the word devoted. They didn't just attend. They were devoted. And what were they devoted to? And then they did these things together. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, having meals together, prayer. They shared possessions and they worshipped. And it says in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When the church does this well, people take notice. Their unity, and remember the word unity is in the word community. Their unity became their witness, and God blessed it. Many, many years ago, one night after church, there was a group of us that went out for dinner in DY. And I was sitting with my friends, having a meal at the table, and this lady, it felt like out of nowhere, she approaches me, she comes up to me and says this, no word of a lie. She says, you and your friends look like good people. How she arrived at that conclusion, I don't know. You and your friends look like good people. She says, my younger brother has just moved to Sydney from New Zealand. He doesn't know anyone. He has no friends here. And then no whatever lie, she says this to me. Would you be his friend? Like, who does that? Who asks a complete stranger on behalf of someone else to be that person's friend? I said to this lady, I'd love to be his friend. And so we became friends. And I introduced him to some other people. That weekend, I invited him to church. And guess what? He said yes to Jesus. He then joined my Connect group. And he has since moved back to New Zealand. But I believe there are going to be more stories like that. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. There's a reason they call it the good news. And people need to hear it. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So be ready. Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says this, and let us consider, to consider is to give attentive thought to. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. What does it look like to meet together? What does it look like for us? A couple of thoughts. The first one is this. We are in church every week. We are in church every week. Why every week? This was the practice the early church set, a rhythm God put in motion. I don't know about you, but I need that weekly encouragement from being in church with you. This year, make a commitment. I'm going to be in church every week. If you're a young person here, make a commitment that this year I'm going to be at youth on Friday night every week. Here at our Northern Beaches location, we have three service options. We have an 8:30 a.m. for all the early risers. We have a 10 a.m. and we have a 6 p.m., but not for long. As Mitch Hammond mentioned, because on the 22nd of February, we are launching a brand new service, a service at 4 p.m. It will replace our 6 p.m. service. It will have a full kids program with the earliest start time. It means there's more time to mingle and hang with people after the service. We're in church every week. What else does it look like? And what else does it mean for us? We are a part of the team. Can I encourage you? Don't just attend. Don't be a spectator Christian. Church is most enjoyed when you are part of the team. It's a great way to meet people. Some of my best friends are people who I serve on the worship team with. One of the first things Jesus did in his ministry is build a team. God's plan for the earth is his church. It's the only thing Jesus said he would build. Is there not a greater cause to be a part of? We may be a big church, but we still need more people on team. And Mitch talked us through what all the different teams are that you can serve on here at C3SYD. We're in church every week. We're a part of the team. What else does it look like to gather and meet together as a church? We are in a connect group. The early church would gather in the temple and they would gather around the table. They would gather in homes. It's what we call connect groups. It's where we gather outside of a Sunday service. We gather, we read the Bible together. We have discussion. We pray for each other. It's how we make church feel like a close-knit family. And here at C3SYD, we run connect groups on a fortnightly cycle. And as I think Mitch may have said already, you can come see us at the Next Step Lounge after the service, and we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to look at whose connect group you could be a part of, whose connect group you could join. I have run connect groups for most of my adult life. Before Kaylee and I got married, I ran a connect group for young adults. I myself was a young adult at the time. And one night, a young man came along to my connect group for the first time. He wasn't a Christian, but he was seeking some answers. And a friend of his who was in my connect group at the time brought him along. And that night we had connect group. We gathered, we opened the Bible, I shared, we had some discussion around what we read and what I shared, and we prayed together. This young man who wasn't a Christian, he kept coming back to Connect Group. And over time, he began to confidently contribute to our discussions. He had a stepmother who was involved in New Age spirituality, and so he would contribute New Age ideologies at Connect Group. For 6 months, he kept showing up, bringing his New Age ideologies to the discussion, and he would ask questions about Christianity. Then later that year, in November, I believe it is, 6 months after being in my connect group, he said yes to Jesus. But that's not the best part yet. 20 years later, I can confirm that this young man, or then young man, is still following Jesus. And he's still in our church. And he's actually here in the room this morning. His name is Andrew Byers. He's on our pastoral staff here at church. He's our kids overseer here at our Northern Beaches location. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up together as some are in the habit of doing. Then look at this, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. This is why gathering is so important. To encourage means to put courage into someone. Yes, there is spiritual sustenance that comes from prayer and reading your Bible. But encouragement from fellow believers strengthens your faith in ways that nothing else can. Most of you would know the story. Back in 2016, I had a tumor cut out of my throat. out of my vocal cords, to be precise, by tumor. It wasn't cancer, but it still was very problematic. And it was a really challenging season of my life. There was one particular Sunday before the service where Pastor Phil Pringle prayed for me. And it wasn't a long prayer. If anything, it was quite short. But I'll never forget what he prayed. He prayed this. He said, "God, Daniel might not have the faith, but I do. And I believe he's going to be fine. Amen." That prayer had such a deep impact on me. Because if I'm honest with you, my faith tank was pretty low. But it was someone else's faith that gave me the faith. In that same time, Darlene Check, you may or may not know that name, she came and saw me, spent some time with me. She prayed with me. She spoke scripture. She anointed me with oil. Her presence, her love, her kindness, her prayers put courage in me. And we all have a story, yeah? And that's why gathering is so important. Most weeks we in church we hear people's salvation stories, and I don't know about you, but it encourages me. The fact you are here today encourages me. Hearing you worship, hearing you sing encourages me. We can show this photo up on the screen. In 1995, twins Brielle and Kiri Jackson were born 12 weeks premature, each weighing only about 2 pounds. One of them wasn't expected to survive. At 3 weeks old, the weaker twin went into a critical condition. Her heart rate was soaring, oxygen dropping, and she was turning blue. The nurses tried everything, but nothing worked. Then one nurse, Gail Kasparian, did something unusual. She placed the weaker twin next to her stronger sister in the same incubator, something that had never been done in the US before. As soon as Kiri wrapped her arm around her sister, the weaker twin's vital signs stabilized instantly. They called it the rescuing hug. Without that hug, the weaker twin wouldn't have survived. That moment has helped change medicine in the USA. How amazing. Something as simple as a hug, skin to skin, heart to heart, gave life. And I'll wrap this up in a moment. Psalm 133, verse 1, it says this: "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters, for this matter, live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting." The Bible uses a musical term here. And to help me with this, I'm going to ask Beck Searle and Laura Clark to join me on the stage here. In music, and simply put, harmony is when different notes come together to create a beautiful sound. No single note dominates. Each note supports the other, and together they blend into a rich, beautiful harmony that delights the ear and makes the song complete. Beck, can you sing us a chorus of something? Sing, Beck.
Oh.
Beautiful. Give it up for Beck. Okay, what we're going to do next is I want you girls to give us an example of disharmony. Please stop, please stop, please stop. Okay. Stay here. When we gossip, when we slander, when we sow discord, that's what we sound like. It's like hitting a bad note mid-song. Or in Laura's case, all throughout the song. When we criticize someone behind their back, make snide comments, spread rumors, or withhold forgiveness, we create dissonance. Even small things, a cutting remark, a sarcastic tone, refusing to reconcile, or letting bitterness fester. All of these are like jarring notes that ruin the harmony. And just like a song, when we're out of tune, the whole community feels it. But that's not who we are. So I want you to give us now an example. Redeem yourselves from what you just did and give us an example of harmony. Let's go again. Let's crank it a bit more, Adisu. A bit more of Laura. Thank you, girls. If I can have the band join me on stage, and I'll finish with this scripture. In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says this: see. I don't want you to just hear about or know of. My prayer is that you would taste and see. See what great love, not just love, but great love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And it doesn't end there. It goes on to say this, and that is what we are. That is who we are. When you put your faith in Jesus, you're adopted into His family and welcome into a community of faith, hope, and love.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.